I was thinking of doing the just going into the Nundra practice of refuge, but because of the various Nundra practices, one is taking refuge, and it's a very wonderful practice, you know, because the Nundra or preliminary practices, which are preliminary for a tantric retreat, are practices to create merit and purify negativities, and so refuge is one of those. And the of the four Tibetan traditions, they have different ways of doing it. But the particular way that we do it is as a separate practice, not done in conjunction with prostrations or something else, but as a separate practice, and reciting, I take refuge in the Guru, I take refuge in the Buddha, I take refuge in the Dharma, I take refuge in the Sangha, 100,000 times, plus 10%, and 10%, and 10%. Okay, but the point is not the counting, the point is the actual feeling of taking refuge in the Guru, Buddha, Dharma, and Sangha. So it's quite a lovely practice. I can start tomorrow talking about the visualization that you do, and then also the way you use the visualization, because you think of negativities created in reference to the Guru, Buddha, Dharma, and Sangha, and purify those in specific, and also the particular qualities, and imagine those qualities coming into you. Now, some people have some question about why the Guru is considered, like when you're doing the refuge mantra, why you say that, because everybody talks about the three jewels, and here the Tibetans had the Guru, and what's the story here? When you're talking about the Guru as the refuge, you're not talking about the personality of your spiritual teacher. Okay, that's real important to understand. That the Guru is an object of refuge is what is called the ultimate Guru, which is basically the Buddha, okay? So it comes down to the omniscient mind of all of the Buddhas that manifests in all these different forms. And so that's what's meant by the ultimate Guru, and that's the Guru that we take refuge in. Okay, so it's not the personality of the teacher, and but rather we see the teacher in tantra practice, I'm not talking about sutra practice, but in tantra practice, as a manifestation, as actually the guru there, in the paramita practice, as the manifestation of the Buddha. But still, it doesn't involve getting attached to the teacher's personality and the teacher as a human being. Okay, it's very much seeing the teacher as a manifestation there to guide us. And the reason for this is that it helps our mind to take the advice more seriously. Okay, but the downside is if we get very attached to the teacher as a personality and think that that person is our refuge, well, that person is, you know, impermanent and is one day going to leave this body. And then, you know, if we're very attached in that way, then at that point it's like our refuge is lost and we get really kind of like this, so we don't know where to turn. So that's why it's very important to see that the guru we're taking this refuge is nothing other than the embodiment of the Buddha, Dharma, and Sangha, which are not going to disappear when the physical body of our teacher is no longer here. And I say this because I've seen many people kind of, when their teacher dies, they're going, what do I do now? Mm-hmm. Yeah? Whereas if you have really thought about this deeply, well, you know, it's not the teacher, it's the person, it's the Dharma that you've learned. Okay? And it's the teacher's qualities that act as a model for what you want to become. So when your teacher is not there physically, you know, the Dharma that they taught you is certainly there. Okay, the Dharma in their minds is there for you to study and access and practice and realize in your own mind. And so that's the way that we're taking refuge in the Guru. Okay? That's quite important. Yeah. And it's not a fourth object of refuge. It's seen as the embodiment of the Buddha Dharma and Sangha. If anybody has a picture, trying to think of the refuge visualization, because the way it looks like is, you know, there's one throne, large throne, and then on it there's five smaller thrones, but when they depict it in a painting, it looks kind of like the merit field, but also different because the central figure is Shakyamuni Buddha instead of, you know, Lama Tsongkhapa, mm-hmm. and also because it's one big throne with five thrones on it instead of, you know, a tree growing out of a milk ocean with this big lotus on top of it. So, you know, look at the pictures that you have around and see if anybody has one. It might make it a little bit easier to do.